Last week, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad attended an open parliamentary session to provide the lawmakers with a full report on how the government has been implementing a comprehensive economic reform plan passed into law in 2010. His speech in the parliament came after MPs overwhelmingly voted for amendments to the law that would require the government not to increase cash handouts to the people as a compensation for energy subsidies that have been eliminated. 2 years ago, when the president announced that the government was about to put forward a comprehensive plan to shake up the economy, everyone had agreed that the proposed measures, including lifting the government subsidies, were necessary in order for Iran to have a stronger economy and for the nation to prosper. The president's speech led to joint sessions held between the parliament and the government for them to work together to devise a formula for implementing the reforms. Whether or not they arrive at a solution is considered decisive, considering the effect it may have on Iran's upcoming presidential elections, and while the 2013 fiscal year budget bill is yet to be submitted to the parliament. In this episode, we will be discussing the different aspects of the economic reform plan and the controversy over it. In 2009, the Iranian parliament ratified a much-debated bill to revolutionize the country's economic system. The bill was compiled by both the government and the lawmakers, and it proposed a carefully composed roadmap that would lead to an economy that relies less on oil revenues. The plan was based on seven pillars, including a customs and tax reform strategy, restructuring the banking system, implementing Article 44 of the Constitution calling for the privatization of government-owned companies, placing a price control apparatus in order to redefine the market structure, and redirecting state subsidies. The comprehensive plan was therefore referred to as a, quote, surgery on Iran's economy. The series of measures were set to be introduced as a package, and the regulatory reforms implemented at the same time. However, the fact that Iran was among the world's biggest fossil fuel consumers and the burden of the fuel subsidies on the Iranian government led President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to prioritize the plan to redirect subsidies.
The subsidy reform plan was a part of the fifth development plan, and the government was required to execute it. And then the plan was included in the budget law in 2011 and 2012. The main was to reduce the overall energy consumption in the country. So the government tried to increase the price of energy carriers to 95% of the Persian Gulf FOB prices in 5 years.
Lifting the subsidies resulted in large amounts in budget savings, which, according to law, the government was required to distribute as follows: 50% to cash handouts to the people as a compensation for the increased prices, 30% to the industry sector to make it more energy efficient, and the remaining 20% to the government. Chairman of Iran's Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Mines, Mohammad Nahavandian, believes that 30% is not enough for the industry.
One debate was over the plan's priority, to give priority to manufacturers or consumers. If our aim was to support production, then we had to allocate more money to enhance our technology in this sector. In practice, the opposite was true. We encouraged consumption by giving people 50% of the money gained from the subsidy reform. Targeting subsidy lost its meaning when the money distributed among all people instead of being given to the underprivileged. Meanwhile, the government took 20% of the money, and the rest, that is 30%, was dedicated to the production sector.
On December
18, 2010, in a televised interview, the president announced the implementation of the first phase of the targeted subsidy reform plan and called on the nation to support the government as the new system is put into place. The next day, gasoline was rationed and prices increased. People waiting in long lines to receive government cash handouts became a familiar scene at the end of every month.
زمستان سال 1389 قانون هدفمند کردن یارانه ها
In winter 2010, the parliament passed a subsidy reform plan, and the government was required to execute it. The plan was nice on paper and absolutely essential for our economy. And the government showed great courage in the execution of this demanding task. Until 2010, when the subsidy reform plan was passed, the government had to pay out around $100 billion as subsidy. It was a great burden on the shoulder of the government and a stumbling block to economic prosperity.
The targeted subsidy plan had an immediate impact on the level of fuel consumption in the country. Less gasoline, diesel, natural gas, and electricity was used, and many turned to CNG-powered vehicles. In the first 15 days of implementing the plan, the government managed to save up to 5%, the equivalent of nearly 800,000 gallons of gas compared to the same period the previous year. This happened despite the general upward trend in fossil fuel consumption in Iran.
We had to cut the galloping energy consumption in the country. If we were still on the wrong track of consumption, we had to use around 135 million liters of gas a day. Now we use around 62.5 million liters a day. That is, we save around 70 million liters, or around $20 billion a day. The same goes with other energy carriers.
Gasoline prices in Iran were always much lower than global prices, and one of the main goals of the targeted subsidy plan was to increase the price of gasoline to the Persian Gulf free onboard price.
Currently, the gap has been widened between the Persian Gulf FOB and the current prices. When we began the subsidy reform, we aimed to close the gap. The reason lies in what happened in the stock exchange market.
According to the subsidy reform law, the government was required to allocate a portion of its savings to optimize the production process in order to make the industry sector more efficient and also compensate for the rise in energy prices, the kind of support that can lead to cheaper goods and services.
Unfortunately, we encounter some problems in practice. In theory, it was a great plan and vital to our economy, but it was executed poorly. The money saved by the reform had to be allocated to the production section, but in reality, it was given to the people. In fact, the main aim of the plan was to support industries and the production sector so that they would no longer need the government's help. But that was not what happened. In short, industries and the production sector were totally ignored. That's why the reform was initially designed to support production, not consumption.
But President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad announced in a televised interview that the government had met its obligations regarding the production sector.
We supported the production sector through two ways. First, by giving them cash handouts. Second, through price discrimination. Some say that price discrimination is different from subsidy. So tell me, what subsidy is? We, for example, sell gas 700 tomans for domestic consumption and 10 tomans for agricultural consumption. This is subsidy and this is supporting the manufacturers. This is the best ever form of subsidy.
Mismanagement in the government is pretty obvious. First, it didn't distribute the money properly. 30% of the income was supposed to be allocated to their production sector. The president and his ministers have explained it in several sessions, but no convincing explanations was produced. For example, the reason was that the government sold fuel with a lower price to the industry sector that could compensate for the 30% they didn't receive. It's not sensible. The percentage and method of redistribution have to be clear and defined by regulations.
Iran's comprehensive economic reform plan pursues the objectives of promoting development and social justice. Therefore, the people were categorized into 10 income brackets. Each group would receive cash handouts in proportion to their income. However, in practice, almost all groups receive the same amount.
The main aim of subsidy is to bridge the economic gap between the rich and the poor. Then you see it is not logical to provide all people, including the rich, with subsidy. Strictly speaking, no subsidy reform has happened. Before the subsidy reform plan, the government used to give good subsidies to all people. Now it has to give subsidy to all people in the form of cash handout, a more expensive form of subsidy. So we can say that the method was wrong from the outset.
Economists have been debating whether distributing cash handouts equally to all citizens is actually promoting social justice.
Some positive steps were taken. People became more economical both in everyday life and industry. And some steps were taken to optimize the use of energy resources. But it leaves a lot to be desired.
Lifting government subsidies on food and energy and providing a monthly $37 cash payment per capita instead increases liquidity. According to statistics recently released by the Central Bank of Iran, in 2012, liquidity exceeded $305 billion.
A significant fraction of the money was returned to the people directly and inexpertly. When such a huge amount of money was injected into society, high inflation ensued. It was a big expansionary fiscal policy that devalued our currency. And the depreciation of the riyal led to rampant inflation.
But President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad disagrees that the cash handouts have increased liquidity.
Some say that targeting the subsidy has brought about liquidity, which in turn has resulted in the depreciation of the riyal. It's totally wrong. I admit that the government has borrowed a sum of money from the central bank. If this is the main cause of liquidity, as some assume, then it has to show itself in the total liquidity. In 2010, liquidity was around 25% in the country, and in 2011, it dropped to around 19%. It means a decrease in liquidity. So how is it possible that Iran has devalued its currency while its liquidity has dropped? It's impossible. Some may consider the liquidity had the potentials for the appreciation of the dollar. All these issues are open to debate.
Economists believe that the recent threefold drop in the value of Iran's currency, the riyal, is directly related to the increase of liquidity. The dramatic devaluation of the riyal hinders the objective of setting fuel prices in accordance with the Persian Gulf free on board price.
We started the subsidy reform intending, among the other things, to increase the fuel price to its regional level. And at that time, the average regional price was about $2 or 20,000 riyals. We wanted to do so in phases. During the first phase, we increased the price to 7,000 riyals. With the depreciation of the riyal, the regional price of fuel went up to 6,000 riyals. Now the fuel price is 7,000 riyals in the country, and if we want to have a regional price, it must be around 60,000 or 70,000 riyals. You see, we didn't reach our goal in this regard.
Over the past year, the inflation rate soared to 28%, and the purchasing power of the people decreased. Observers say the main reason behind this was mismanagement in the implementation of the plan.
The first phase of the subsidy reform plan has had two immediate economic ramifications. One is a decrease in purchasing power. The other is the introduction of new financial resources in the form of cash handout. Suppose a person with an average salary of over $800 a month, 2 years ago, and before the execution of subsidy reform, he could buy twofold what he can buy now, although he receives cash handouts at the moment. Suppose that we give him 20% of his salary, around $165. That's why people come to us and say that they are ready to give back the handouts. Instead, they want their previous purchasing power.
According to Iran's fifth five-year development plan, and as cited in the Iranian fiscal year 2012 budget law, the second phase of the targeted subsidy plan was scheduled to be implemented last year. However, the economic challenges resulting from the implementation of the first phase prompted the parliament to put the second phase of the plan on hiatus. On November 13, 2012, lawmakers overwhelmingly voted for the amendments made to the fiscal year 2012 budget bill. According to the new law, the government was prohibited from increasing the amount of cash handouts and fuel prices.
Among the first measures the ninth parliament took was to prevent any further instability in the domestic economy. So it passed a bill banning the government from paying more cash handouts and also from the second phase of the subsidy reform. The bill was approved by majority votes in the parliament and the government was banned from increasing the amount of handouts whatsoever.
But some lawmakers believe that delaying the plan in long term could have a detrimental effect on the economy.
The foundations of the subsidy reform have been established and it had to be continued. We should not abandon it, so we should continue the reform to the end. There is no question about it. The question is whether we have to do it during one phase or in phases. The government and the parliament have to reach an agreement in this regard. So abandoning the reform is wrong and does more harm than good.
In his latest televised interview on December 22, 2012, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad insisted that the second phase of the targeted subsidy plan be implemented. He said that he was going to increase the cash handouts by fivefold and raise fuel prices in accordance with the Persian Gulf free onboard price.
Multiply 45,000 by 5.25 and give the sum to each one. Whoever receives this amount of money is immune to all these economic instabilities. Now we have a dollar worth of 2,500 tomans, and the annual inflation is around 26 in 360 items. So let's give back the money to the people. It will help us control the consumption. With the money we gain from the subsidy reform, we can do a lot of jobs. Some think that it is an increase in liquidity. It's totally wrong. Liquidity happens when monetary base increases. We are not after it.
When the price of energy carriers increases by five times, it means that everything increases by five times. However, it would not result in a decrease in purchasing power. It does not have negative economic consequences. The supporters of this idea claim that by providing the poor with handout, they can support them financially. The middle classes and high classes, on the other hand, have enough money to support themselves.
When the government has no significant financial resources, the only way it has to pay out cash handout is to increase the price of energy carriers and public service fees. That's what the government was going to do in 2005, but was stopped and wanted to do it again in 2010. Still, the government persists in it. If the increase happens, the fuel price soars to $1.06 to adjust the price to a dollar worth 30,000 riyals. It would rock the domestic economy unprecedentedly.
The president's insistence on implementing the second phase of the plan was immediately met with strong negative reactions from economists and lawmakers alike. Parliamentarians adamantly opposed to the implementation of the second phase as, quote, illegal without their consent. This brought the president to the parliament on January 16th to discuss the country's ongoing situation.
The MPs are content that the president came to the parliament and delivered his speech. It is hoped that both the government and the parliament will reach agreement on big issues. However, the MPs expected the president to remain in the parliament and listen to their remarks.
In his speech, the president proposed four solutions to improve the country's economy. As he pointed out, the most important way was the immediate implementation of the second phase of the subsidy reform plan.
Some object that why the president left the parliament before listening to the MPs. The president can do this according to the law. Of course, it was more appropriate for the president to stay and listen to the MPs, but he can listen to their speech via radio, etc. He could answer the questions if he had remained in the parliament.
In order to implement the second phase of the subsidy reform plan, the budget required needs to be allocated through the fiscal year 2013 budget bill, which the government has yet to hand to the parliament.
The parliament speaker wrote a letter to the leader. The leader asked the president to hand in the budget to the parliament as soon as possible. The government should not delay in offering the budget bill to the parliament. If the second phase of the subsidy reform is going to be executed next year, then it had to be contained in the budget bill. If the economic situation is not proper enough for the second phase, the budget and planning committee does not allow this to happen and the government has to act according to the law.
Meanwhile, how the second phase is implemented can greatly affect the outcome of Iran's upcoming presidential election in June.
I think the country needs stability for the forthcoming council on presidential elections. It seems that the people are not ready to undergo a new phase of the subsidy reform. The parliament wants to adjourn for after the elections and have a comprehensive research before taking the final decision.
Like any other plan, the subsidy reform has its pros and cons. Although some lawmakers are against the way it's implemented, the fact that the parliament itself has ratified the plan means that it is not a question of whether or not to eliminate the subsidies, but more about how it should be done.
اگر در زمانی باشد که ما عوامل مختلف کلان اقتصاد رو تحت
We can be successful if we achieve economic stability and keep all critical factors under control. We can be even more successful if we give priority to the production sector and allocate the money for enhancing our technology. But the current approach that gives priority to consumers would reduce our chances of success.
The targeted subsidy plan is a reform strategy with ramifications that can significantly impact many different aspects of the economy as a whole. It is therefore a national project and not one that pertains to a specific sector. After the president's speech in the parliament, both sides decided to hold regular meetings in order to encourage better interaction between the government and the parliament. The joint sessions are expected to bring both sides closer in order to agree on the mechanism through which the plan can be successfully implemented.